Hey, everybody, Matt, Jess and Dave here.
Sorry, Jess, just butting in quickly to let the listeners know that I'm going to be in Sydney this week, coming up the 8th to the 12th of May, and you can get tickets now via mattshieldcomedy.com, then going straight to Brisbane on the 16th to the 19th. So tickets for my show Dryer Dryer in Sydney and Melbourne.
Sorry, Matt, I'll just cut you off there. I just need to tell everyone that our quiz show, our web series, is out right now. Do go on the quiz show. You can see it on Stupid Old Channel for free on YouTube. Type in "Do Go On The Quiz Show" and you can see three episodes right now covering topics like Google, Queen Victoria, the Olympics, and we got five more episodes coming up. So like and subscribe, whatever that means.
They are big topics too. And I said Sydney and Melbourne. I meant Sydney and Brisbane. Anyway, let's get on with the show.
I'm still here too.
Oh, hey, Jess.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Ahoy there! You're listening to Do Go On. My name is Dave Warnicki, and I am joined by Mr. Matt Stewart and Miss Jess Perkins.
Hello. Ahoy hoy. Toot toot.
I put a bit of a hoary, like a slightly Irishy sort of voice. That I didn't mean to, but...
Irishy.
I thought it was a pirate thing.
Yeah, I wanted
it to be piratey, but then
Irish pirate.
Now you think you sounded Irish.
Yes.
Can't Irish be pirates?
No.
Well, I'm not saying they can't be. Hey, I'm not oppressing anyone.
They can be whatever they want to be.
Thank you.
They can river dance and they can pirate.
Oh, well.
Well, and one of those things is valuable. That's right. Piracy is more valuable than river dance. Oh, no.
Oh, wow. We're at it again.
I know. 30 seconds in. are we going well, mateys?
We are, me captain.
Thank you. I'm the captain. I like that.
Boop, boop.
Yeah, I reckon you're the captain.
Land.
Land ahoy.
Walk the plank, you bastard.
You dirty dog. You sea dog. Davy Jones locker.
I love that phrase, Davy Jones locker.
Yeah.
Oh, you're Davy, Matt's Jones, and I'm the locker.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
If you tell Jess a secret, she will not tell anyone.
Yeah, like the time you told me about that rash you had. I didn't tell anybody that.
What
oh,
rash?
Oh, no. No, what
Dave,
have I
did
done?
You have a rash?
He realized that I was looking at him but hadn't addressed him.
Oh,
and he could
damn.
Get away with it.
Yes, I had smallpox. All right.
All right.
Guilty as charged. Research for the show is very intense.
Yeah, I told you. We do work really hard at researching in this show. Maybe too hard.
I'd say not in my case.
Yeah, okay. Which is great because it is your turn to present a topic this week.
Yes.
I like that phrase, to present a topic. I like that. Matt, you are the presenter.
I'm presenting.
Have we not said that before? I'm sure
no.
We have.
He's presenting.
No, I just like it. It makes me think of previous topic, David Attenborough. Like we are somehow presenting.
We're presenters.
When he says they're presenting, it means something else though.
Very true. Very true. Something a whole lot better than this show, but still.
Yeah.
Animal fucking. But Matt, it's your turn to do a report.
To do a go on.
To do a present. And as always, you are about to apologise about the lack of research you have done.
No apologies.
Oh, great.
This you get what you deserve sometimes.
who our listeners get what they deserve? What have they done?
Well, no, just in life, you know.
All right. No, okay.
Sometimes you give what you get. You get what you give.
Again, they've done nothing to deserve a shoddy report.
But having said that, it's a free podcast, so essentially, get what you pay for.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying, Matt?
Fuck them. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not
good
saying that at all.
Heavens.
I love our listeners.
How much? Enough to do a good report for
heaps,
them? Yeah. Apparently not.
Well, no, they disagree. I get nothing but good feedback.
Yeah, when you're drunk, they love it.
Yeah, we got a tweet this week saying, when you do your next drunk episode, like it's a thing that we do on purpose. I love that.
It's not just that our podcasting has to fit in around the rest of our lives. So sometimes one of us has been drinking that day.
It can happen. Yeah. And more often than not, in fact, 100% of the time, it has been Mr. Matt Stewart.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't sound great, but I have a fun life, so I'm okay.
Yeah, you're all right.
I'll drink away the shame. Which I think is healthy.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it. Just repress it.
All this talk about drinking is very appropriate for this topic.
Is it?
Oh, is
well,
it?
The listeners at home will be like, oh, yes, this links up very nicely.
But we do not as yet
I see
yet
what he's done there. Hmm?
He's segueing. Segueing.
Now, as Jess says, we have no idea what you're talking about. And I found this to be one of the more exciting times in my week because we're about to talk about something. I'm about to learn about something. I don't know what it is.
That's exciting to you?
Yeah, it is. I'm the nerdy one on the show. Yeah. We know that. We know that.
We do.
Matt's
the
cool boy.
And Jess, you're the joyful soul.
Aww.
That's the best one by far.
I know, that's much better than a nerd. And what was Matt?
The cool boy.
Oh, the cool boy.
That's pretty great. I was expecting an insult, so that's thank you.
Yeah, that's right. Sometimes
I was waiting for something.
I give compliments when they're least expected. When I'm in the middle of an argument, I say, God, your eyes are beautiful. And they're like, well, I'm trying to rob this bank. All right.
Is that what you get in an argument about? Hey, don't rob this bank. I don't think it's a good idea. Well, we do think it's a good idea.
God, your eyes are beautiful.
All right.
I'm rethinking my life choices. And then they leave and I go on with my day.
Uh-huh. Silent hero.
And here I am. That was my morning, so.
Oh, wowzers. Wow.
Good to be here.
It's weird you hadn't yet mentioned that.
Well, I like to slip my stories in when people least expect it. People are like, give us all your money. And I'm like, did you know that one time my parents owned a chow chow dog? And they're like, this is not appropriate. And then they leave and I've saved the situation again. It's very good.
Wow.
Is that a made up thing?
No, they owned a chow chow. Do you know what a chow chow?
No, what's a chow chow?
It's like
edible dog?
No, it's a chow
chow
down.
A dog that's got like a bowl built into it?
They're kind of rare.
In its back.
What is wrong with you?
Get over here, chow chow dog. It's dinner time. What are we serving up today?
Like it's got a bowl that's stuck taped to his back.
Stuck taped?
Yeah, stuck taped in. What are we?
What's a chow chow dog?
Oh, it's one of those, you know when you go, you see, I don't know, maybe you have like a Chinese temple or something in that vein and it has dogs guarding it.
Oh, yeah.
They're models of chow chow dogs. They're like an ancient sort of Chinese dog.
Oh.
And they're quite rare, but you can get them here and... Yeah, my dad loves them. We had two when I was growing up.
Cool.
Yeah, both had...
What are their names?
Chinese names. Ming was the first one, and the second one was Mei Li. Oh, and they have purple tongues.
What?
And one time when my dad took the dog to the vet just for an annual checkup, the vet was like, he was a new vet. He was like, what's wrong with this dog? I think it's dying. It's got a purple tongue. And the senior vet was like, no, that's just what they look like.
Yeah, have you ever looked at its tongue before, Dave's dad? Your dick?
No, my dad was confused. Just the vet.
Oh, the vet was confused.
Yeah, the
new trainee
vet.
Matthew.
Look, I have to be honest, I do zone out a lot when Dave talks.
I know, mate, I know.
Story of my life.
Another story he'll tell in another inconvenient
The boring
location.
Story of Dave's life.
Wow, that was a little too far. Jesus. But we're not here to talk about my dogs.
Or your boring life.
Well, there's a... If we had a Venn diagram, the dog chat and the boring life does cross over quite a lot. We're here to talk about Stewart's topic. I thought you'd be rejoicing in my boring conversation because it puts off the time you have to talk about something.
No, I can't wait to talk about this very interesting topic.
You sound enthusiastic.
Here's the question. We always start with a question. Mm-hmm. Regular listeners would know that. And that is a question about the topic that I ask these guys, right? And then they answer it. And it's a really fun way to get into the topic. Very good fun.
Can I just say that it just accidentally happened because I decided to present the first report with the topic just as a way to get into it. And then it just happened from then on.
It was really organic. That's what I liked about it. Very organic.
Now it's forced, but it started... in an organic way.
Yeah. The first episode was organic. 50 episodes since then.
It's all scripted.
Very artificial.
We don't even record this in the same room anymore.
Yeah, no. We read from a script.
We record our bits separately.
Line. Do go on. Sorry. That's what I was going to say. Do go on.
Matt, what's the question?
Question this week. Which Australian band performed 12 sold-out shows at Madison Square Garden Theatre in New York City in 2003?
2003. An Aussie band. 12
sold-out shows.
At the MSG. That's like one of the pinnacle, but many would say, of performance.
Is it an older band that were doing a, like...
Like a comeback?
Yeah.
No, they were sort of moving into their peak.
In 2003.
They'd been around, you know, 10 years or so.
Who was big in 2003?
Oh, Aussie bands. Well, the big Aussie bands are always the Powderfingers, but the Silverchairs. I mean Silverchair were big, I believe, in their first album overseas, but I don't think in 2003 they'd be big in the US.
In the US.
Oh, is it Jet?
No.
Because they worked quite big.
Yeah,
they sold a few million albums in the US.
I saw Jet at the Palais Theatre when I was like 17.
Did you?
It was so good.
Yes, I reckon they put on a good show. They're a good Aussie rock and roll band.
Their first album was very good. Anyway.
Australian.
Yeah, what genre? Are they a rock band?
Of sorts, but I'd think...
All right, Olivia Newton-John.
Their market is younger.
I repeat, Olivia Newton-John.
I know. Is it the Wiggles?
It is the Wiggles.
I don't think I ever would have thought that. That's amazing.
This is from the hat.
This is from the hat.
Because I nearly picked this one up.
Ooh, lucky.
Did you pick it up? Pick it up and put it back down.
Yeah, I picked it up and put it back down.
So Matt's
when
got
you get
the...
a double pick, that's the worst.
Yeah.
Although it gives you a chance to make a choice. Chance to choose.
But now you've got just
the
a sloppy
Wiggles.
Second.
This is... No, not at all.
And this one was put in the hat by Nick Germanos.
Thank you, Nick.
Thank you, Nick.
His Twitter handle, The Nick of Crime.
Oh, that's good.
Very good.
Is Nick possibly 6 or under?
The Nick of Crime makes me feel like he might be older, but...
7.
Yes.
The Wiggles, very good. 2003, still kicking it.
So 12.
I like that you said, in a way, they were a rock band. Like,
in a way. They see themselves...
They've got an electric guitar.
They see themselves as...
they're rock stars.
Rock and roll roots.
Yeah.
Rooted in rock.
As we all do. We all do.
Oh, mate, I rooted in rock so good through a lot of my university days.
Good heaven.
Great. doesn't fully make any sense, does it?
No.
Or in any way. All right, great. Did you guys get into Wiggles as kids?
I was about to say, because no, but they were active during my time.
I
realised later.
I think my mum's told me a story of taking me to the Wiggles and me falling asleep.
Nice.
But, that's I'm sure that must be a slightly depressing part of their job where they look at and maybe a good fraction of their audience is asleep at any one time.
Yeah.
Especially when they sing their little lullaby songs.
Especially fucking Jeff.
I listened to an hour long interview with one of their manager, and he was saying, you know, the kids, they're the most honest audience you'll get. There's no bullshit. He's like, if I go see a band, I'll clap at the end of a song,
no matter what.
Yeah,
he's like, kids don't do that. They'll either dance if they enjoy it, or they'll fall asleep if they're Dave Warnocky. He said that, which was obviously that cut.
He's still thinking about this 20 years later.
Yeah, which I thought that was kind of interesting. I was going to bring that up later in the fun facts, but yeah.
I was a tastemaker as a 6-year-old.
I had cousins who were really into it, who were a bit younger than me. So I was exposed to the Wiggles, but I was like a little bit too old for them by then.
Exposed to the Wiggles?
Yeah.
Oh, no, no, no. The Wiggles story began in 1991 when Anthony Field was studying to become a preschool teacher at Macquarie University.
Anthony's the blue one. He's the blue Wiggle.
He's the blue Wiggle.
He likes to eat. That's Anthony's thing.
He likes to eat.
That's his thing. He likes to eat.
Oh, right. That's an interesting thing to like. I mean...
He's always eating.
We all got to do it.
Yeah, we all got to sleep too, but everybody bloody teases Jeff all the time.
That's true.
Anyway, go on.
Yeah, short straw there, Jeff.
Yeah, sorry, mate.
So a lot of my main source for this was a short memoir written by Anthony's brother.
Who played Paul. Captain Feathersword.
No, that's what I thought as well.
It wasn't his brother.
I always thought that as well, but apparently not.
So then who's Paul in this story?
Paul's brother.
Paul is Anthony's brother who goes on to manage the band in the mid-90s
and
until today.
Never plays Captain Feathersword.
No, neither of his brothers. John, another one of his brothers, wrote a lot of the songs.
What?
But he's never performed in the band. I was sure it was as
I
well.
I was sure.
So maybe...
Surely one of them wasn't one of them to sneak off and come back on as Captain Feathersword?
Well, that was another theory. People would be like, Anthony would sometimes play Captain Feathersword, but no. Captain Feathersword's his own man.
Look, let's...
Sorry, let's not get ahead of ourselves.
I mean, a lot of that is wrong. Anthony had just gone back to study at Macquarie University after taking a couple of years off to focus on his band, The Cockroaches. Do you know...
Sick.
He used to be in a band called The Cockroaches, and they were starting to get some real success. They had their self-titled debut went platinum.
What?
And
really?
Yeah.
That's quite a big deal.
Yeah, yeah.
What did he play in the band?
Guitar. He was lead guitar.
Interesting.
His brother, Paul, who went on to manage the band, was the lead singer.
Cool.
And their other brother, John, was another guitarist in the band. They're a six-piece band. Another member of the band was named Jeff Fatt on keyboard.
Jeff.
Yeah. And they also had a roadie named Greg Page.
Oh, hello.
They had heaps of success in Australia, including a top 10 hit with the song She's the One.
Oh. Really?
I've been listening to it, yeah.
Is it good?
It's that sort of pretty poppy pub rock sound, I guess.
Cool.
I've listened to it a bunch of times this morning, trying to get into it, but you know, it's fine. It's a fine song.
Really forcing yourself to like something, that's the way to do it, I reckon.
They had a bunch of charting songs, no other top 10 ones, but another few in the top 40, top 30.
So is this late, early 90s?
Like Wait Up, Hey What Now? Is another one. That's my favourite one.
What does that mean?
Hey, what now?
Hey, what now?
Hey, what now?
Is that what it is?
What now?
They also had a song.
Punctuation is very important.
They also had a song called Do the Monkey.
Do the Monkey. Ooh, ooh, ah, ah, ooh, ooh.
That sounds, yeah. Is that like their transitional song?
Yeah.
No, they re-recorded it as The Wiggles.
And they still called it Do the Monkey?
Yeah, yeah. They
That's what I was
hardly
singing.
Changed it at all.
Oh, do you actually know that song?
Yeah.
What about do they still do
the
Hey
Elephant.
What Now?
No, I don't think
they never re-recorded but She's the One.
A bunch of the songs they did, like they reworked, changed the lyrics to make them more child friendly or whatever.
Wow.
So the Cockroaches were, you know, that classic sort of pop band writing songs about girls and stuff. And
ooh,
then they changed
ooh,
them.
Chugga chugga, big red cock. I mean car. That's much more child friendly.
No, Dave.
Think about it.
Your face is so creepy.
They also guest hosted Countdown 3 times.
What?
Yeah.
Cockroaches.
As the Cockroaches.
As the Cockroaches. They performed on there a bunch of times.
What?
And
I always
guest
thought, I always thought that they were like a band that never got anywhere and then somehow became these multimillionaires doing kids stuff. But they were actually
Yeah, well, I was going to say, I wonder why they transitioned into children's, but I bet Matt's probably got the bloody answer.
They had some other singles that I like the names of. I Want a Leather Jacket and Bingo Bango. So it feels like there were like some...
Who doesn't want a leather
halfway,
jacket?
Halfway between...
Always, like, yeah, a little bit.
I Want a Leather... Imagine singing a whole song about how you want a leather jacket, but you just get one.
And so I went to the shop and I bought one.
And I bought one. And now I've got one. Bingo Bango. I'm a leather jacket owner.
Apparently they had a great live show, you know, energetic and that sort of stuff. Sold out tours.
What?
But they never went huge.
Sure.
They went at Madison Square
big-ish,
Garden.
But they never went huge. They never were big outside of Australia, and their popularity sort of waned as they went on. They released 4 albums and none of them were as successful as the first.
Wow.
But they did have a following, so that was when Anthony went back to uni, I guess, when was starting to look to the future. This is what Anthony said at university. He said, at university there were maybe 4 or 5 guys in our course and over 400 women, which was a bit overwhelming. I think the blokes got together as a bit of a bonding thing. That's what he said.
Okay.
So that handful of blokes included the musicians Murray Cook, who was the bass player for Finger Guns.
Oh my God!
They did that's their thing.
That's
which
their
is
thing.
Yeah, which is a thing they do, which is interesting.
That's so funny.
And Greg Page was also studying there. He was the roadie for the Cockroaches and singer for Dead Giveaway. It's a bloody dead giveaway, mate.
So they're all in bands anyway. Band,
yeah. And so they sort of
did they not have other things to do in the 90s?
No. Like,
everybody's in a fucking band.
I was in a band, and that was in the 2000s.
People... I was also in a band. Good point.
In fact, I was in over 10 bands over 10 years.
Were you really?
Yeah.
That's a lot of bands, Dave. Mm. You have commitment issues.
Did any of the band members go on to form a big...
A big children's group. Group? No, I am thinking of calling my group...
The Hooly Doolies or the...
High Five.
High Five.
Yeah, were you in a band with one of the original High Five members?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was.
Good for you.
Ask no more questions. Let's move on.
All right, great.
All
right. So they started... Because they had this music connection, they started jamming in their lunch breaks and that sort of stuff. And that ended up turning into... They started going busking for fun in the streets of Sydney. And Anthony brought in his brother John on guitar and Jeff Fat, because so that they weren't at uni. So he brought... Great name, isn't
so
it?
So great.
Jeff Fat. Obviously, the Cockroach Man. He played accordion while they busked. And during these busking sessions, the group first played what would become one of their signature songs.
Fruit salad?
Hot potato.
Oh, hot potato.
Hot potato, hot potato.
Apparently it started with John just started doing a call and response thing to the crowds.
Oh, nice.
And he started with hot potato. I know what'll get this crowd going.
Maybe they're outside.
Hot potato.
Maybe they're outside a shop that's selling hot potatoes. Yeah. And the shop also sells cold spaghetti.
Cold spaghetti.
What? Wow, that's I want to go to this shop.
Mashed banana.
It's a very eclectic. What else is there? It's a very eclectic menu.
I can't remember what other things are on there.
Ooh, wiggy wiggy. Why do we know? It's so weird that we know these songs.
No, it's not.
No, hey, it's not. Not
we,
at all.
We were all walking up at that mall in the 90s.
Yeah, that's true.
It was really catchy. It's been in my head for 25 years.
Ooh, wiggy wiggy wiggy. Ooh, wiggy wiggy.
During his studies, Anthony learned all about child development and how children think, and he saw his new band as a great chance to put some of this knowledge into practice.
Kids love hot potatoes.
And mashed bananas.
Cold spaghetti, not so much, but...
Interesting.
As he recalls it...
Two out of three ain't bad.
He recalls that he said, "We used to wear different coloured shirts, not skivvies, but we wore shirts with very busy patterns. We thought that was kind of bright. Murray, Greg, Jeff and I were all rock and rollers. We could put a bit of music that had rock and roll beat and also incorporate what we'd learnt about children and what they'd respond to. And that was the first Wiggles album."
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Do they ever find a leather jacket?
They never did.
Who at any point thought skivvies were less creepy? Like, different colours is great. I think it's good to be identifiable by colour. What's a top we could wear? T-shirts? Polo shirts with a collar, maybe a shirt. Obviously, skivvy is the most appropriate choice.
Well, obviously, you've never studied at Macquarie University because Unit 1 of early childhood development is kids love skivvies.
You should dress like a pedophile. Is that what it is?
Do pedophiles wear
skivvies? I feel like they do.
Do pedophiles have a uniform? Because they'd be a lot easier to identify if they did. And I think it's something that we should consider.
That would make things
I'm okay easy. With throwing skivvies under the bus and sacrificing them to pedophiles for a pedophile uniform. Unless you want to invent a different type of clothing specifically for pedophiles. Anyway, that's a topic for another day, I suppose.
What the, all right. The pedophile clothing?
Yeah.
Well, tune in next week. Jess's report.
The hatters yet.
It'll be in there. You'll see.
They needed a name for their band, and they took it from one of the songs that John Field had written, which I think might have been another Cockroaches song that was reworked, and it was called "Get Ready to Wiggle."
Oh boy!
Oh, they are so rock and roll.
They thought that
some bands do drugs, some bands wiggle.
Bit of horizontal wiggling, hey baby.
Ooh, hey what now?
they thought that wiggling was a good description of how young children danced. That's what they thought. I saw a little clip of them guest hosting Countdown, and they came back from a break or whatever, or from a clip, and Jeff. Is pretend asleep on the couch, and Anthony's like, "Oi, Wake up.
No.
No shit. As the cockroaches.
That's very funny.
They've been
funny.
Doing that shtick for a long time.
It's a good shtick.
It's a good shtick. Loves to sleep, that guy.
He bloody loves
bloody
a nap.
Bloody loves a nap.
Nah, but narcolepsy is a serious condition, we should be more mindful of his needs.
He's seriously ill. And has been for a long time.
Face is so smug.
The first album only cost like $3,000 or $4,000 to record.
Was that all?
And they didn't really expect it to be any sort of a hit. They were just having a good time. They weren't doing this for the money.
No.
They were doing it because they loved...
potatoes.
Kids.
Music.
Oh, sorry.
And they
skivvies? No.
They loved entertaining the kids.
Children. Yeah, I bet they did.
Because
creepy
they,
fucks.
Oh, she's turned.
That is a turn, and it's... I mean, I imagine that would have been a real full-on thing early days for them. Hey, we're cool. I know you've never heard of us, but let us come to your school and wiggle with your kids. it's a bit. But, you know.
Worked.
They made it work. And maybe they were the ones bold enough to do it, you know? I certainly wouldn't want to have to entertain children all the time. Sounds like the worst.
But I would also like to sell out 12 shows in a row at Madison Square Garden.
I'd just like my neck to be warm.
Well, there's something in it for everybody.
Guys, let's start wearing colourful skivvies.
The album was quite cheap to record. They didn't expect it to be a hit. They were thinking, oh, we'll be stoked if it even gets released.
Just
want
to get near some kids. That's all they were thinking.
Just called The Wiggles, like a self-titled?
It's called The Wiggles, yeah, self-titled debut.
Just want to get close to some kids.
They approached the ABC to see if they would release the album, because at that stage, probably still are, the big children's entertainment releaser of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What's the word for the...
publisher?
Publisher or record label or whatever. The head of the ABC at that time was Merrill Gross. I didn't notice that was a great name as I wrote it down.
Merrill?
Merrill Gross.
Gross. Miss Gross.
Miss Gross.
Fuck yeah.
So she was the head of ABC Music, and as luck would have it, she just got the job, but previously she'd worked at Festival Records where the Cockroaches were signed.
Oh.
So she already had a good relationship with them, knew that they could make a bloody hit record.
It's all about who you know.
They deliver the goods.
All about who you know.
So she signed them up. At that stage, pretty much everywhere, children's entertainers tended to be solo acts. And they'd been told that they were never going to make money as a band. Spreading the cash across multiple performers just wouldn't work, because there just wasn't that kind of cash in. But I get they were like, fuck it, let's go for it. Who cares? It's not about the money.
Not about the money, money, money. That's not one of theirs. That's Jesse J.
Oh, but that could be a Wiggles. If they said,
we don't need the money, money, money.
Or if they said,
we just want to make the world.
But if they
change
the lyrics, like, it's not about the cherries, cherries, cherries.
They're not all food related, mate.
Food or that big red car.
Which can deliver the food.
Oh, God. They in a way, they created Uber. Eats.
Uber Eats, yeah. Did you guys know that Anthony's interest is food?
I did. I told you that.
Yeah, but I might edit that out. Oh. Make it sound like I did a little more research.
I could be wrong, but I'm 99% sure that he...
Here's a thing I haven't mentioned at this point. Up until this stage, they're a five-piece.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
Greg, Anthony, Jeff, Murray, and Philip Wiltshire.
Oh, Philip.
Philip Wiltshire.
Phil? What is Phil? Oh, no, he's the fifth Beatle, isn't he?
Oh, Phil Will.
He is the fifth Wiggle.
No.
After the Wiggles performed at a childcare centre in Randwick.
Oh, no, he said something inappropriate.
1991.
He touched a kid.
Oh, no. Why does this doesn't have to be about
that. Oh, no, even better. He decided to quit the band to pursue a career in childcare or just like a normal accounting job.
Classical music.
Okay, well,
is that actually?
Yeah.
That's a little bit more admirable than a fucking accountant.
Yeah, it's true. He apparently after he just felt uncomfortable about performing live and resigned for the group, supposedly because after that performance in Randwick, and that was
just had a bad gig.
This was in the weeks leading up to the release of the album.
We've all had bad gigs.
Yeah, he got heckled by a 3-year-old.
Oh, heckling's thrown me off, you know, and I've left and gone. Do I want to do this?
And I actually, one of my worst gigs was at a childcare centre.
Yeah.
As an Easter bunny, genuine fact. And it was horrific. And I nearly got fired.
Why?
But I was able to convince the the childcare teacher to feel sorry for me, so she didn't complain about how badly it went.
Oh, that's nice.
So,
why was it bad?
Oh, they just didn't care about the Easter Bunny. Kids don't care about stuff like that. It must be even tough for the Wiggles now to compete with the bloody iPads. You know what I'm saying? Wiggle, wiggle, wiggle. Fuck off. I've got an iPad, mate.
I'm playing the Wiggle app.
Okay. Got the Wiggle app, and that's much more interesting.
It's interactive.
Yeah, I get to wake him up when I choose, not when you bloody decide. Four versus in.
Wow.
Same every time.
Every Wowzers. Time. Predictable Wiggles. So I feel Phil Will's pain, but if I'd stuck it out as the Easter Bunny, I'd probably be a millionaire by now.
Mm.
Apparently, Jeff also found it a bit weird performing in front of kids. He reckons it took him a couple of years, or it took him a long time to get the language down right. Like, everyone else was sort of...
Good evening, Melbourne!
Sup, fuckers!
Are you ready to fucking rock?
Yeah, he had to tone it
Sup, cunts!
From his cockroaches keyboard days, yeah. Where he'd be like, yeah, all right! Okay. Woo-woo! Yeah, when he'd say, hey, yeah, what? I want a leather jacket!
Keyboardists are the coolest members of the band, and I will be on that record saying that. Nope, I think they are. Definitely. I think they are definitely the coolest.
That is never... It's very hard to look cool behind a keyboard.
No, but some can do it, and have done it in the past.
I've never
and...
seen it.
Nope, it can be done. It can be done, it's fine.
The hardest thing about playing keyboard or piano live is, I think keyboard and piano is the most versatile instrument, but performing live, people can't see what you're doing because it's horizontal and flat. But if you're on the drums, you can see the people hit guitar, bass, singing, you can watch them do it, but it's and very piano, unanimated.
Keyboard, it's all you can see is just the shoulders going up and down and that sort of weird, happy singing voice if they're... doing backup singing. I'm only going off the video I saw of Jeff Fat playing for the cockroaches. He made it look pretty good. Grand piano is a different thing. Like people rocking out a grand piano can look alright. Or you know, any sort of real piano.
Yeah,
you have to be a...
Nick Cave looks pretty cool at times.
Nick Cave looks cool at all times.
At all times.
At all times.
At all times.
Piano yeah, or not.
That's true.
He makes the bagpipes look cool.
He might be the
Which is
there.
Amazing.
He's got this great dance move that is no good on a podcast, but it's my favourite.
We'll commentate.
Oh, wow. It's like he's putting on his backpack.
He's like, it looks like he's...
he's putting on his backpack.
I think it looks like he's skipping on a surfboard.
Yeah, totally. It's like he's, some sort of skis or something. It's the best. I'm not nailing it, but oh man, it's my favourite move in the biz.
I think you have nailed it because I look at you like you're a lot cooler now.
Yeah, I find you a lot cooler.
If only you played piano.
Oh, fuck.
The coolest instrument.
As we have established. No, it's a very versatile instrument, but hard to be entertaining while playing.
Nah, but some people can and have done it in the past.
Jess, what instrument did you play in the band? Was it drums?
Drums are cool.
Drums are cool, Jess.
Drums are very cool, Jess.
Drums are cool, yes.
Don't be down on yourself, Jess. Drums are cool.
Drums are cool.
Sometimes I played tambourine when there wasn't keyboard in the band.
Oh, that's a classic thing to give to someone with nothing to do. One time I saw a band play live and this woman had a microphone, but she didn't even do backup. She just played tambourine the whole time and it felt very token, like,
I want to be that woman.
Yeah.
A professional tambourine player.
Fuck yes.
I hope she's getting a smaller cut because she's doing a lot less than everyone else.
What's the thing, ooh, right? A lot of it is... this is what, listening to the manager, Paul Field.
Mm-hmm. The brother.
Yeah, he was giving advice out about, you know, the music biz.
Mm-hmm.
And he was mentioning that often bands, like, issues get created in bands when, you know, some are writing the song so they get the publishing rights. They'll get a bigger cut of the money coming in because they've written the songs. Apparently, early days, the Wiggles decided that they were going to split it evenly no matter what. So every song was a co-write,
mm-hmm.
Which he reckons is one of the reasons why they've had such longevity. They haven't had issues with...
Yeah, that's a smart way to
Whether
do
it. Whether it's Greg Jeff or Jeff Greg.
Yeah.
Lennon McCartney, yeah. McCartney Lennon.
No, we got it. We got the reference.
I don't think you did.
We were here for that podcast. I presented that podcast. So we were here for that.
Anyway, around the time after that dude left, they decided it was a good chance to maybe freshen up their image. Not too long after that. And what better way to do that than with skivvies?
What were they wearing before this? Just shirts?
They're wearing shirts, button-up shirts. There's clips you can see. I've watched a
button-up
few clips.
Button-up shirts would be much better.
Having a great time.
No, the Skippy is obviously very iconic.
Very loud.
It was a good choice.
I think it's the block colours, like Jess said. You could have done that with. But it, I don't know.
Polo shirts, t-shirts.
I reckon it's either a Skivvy.
Polo shirts feel more like dodgy uncle than Skivvies to me.
Yeah, I think it's either
Skivvies are so weird.
Long
no
sleeve Skivvies,
them.
And also they're in, like they're performing an hour long show live in a long sleeve Skivvy under those stage lights. Mm. Oof.
Yeah.
I think it should either be Skivvies or like suit jackets.
Because
it's got to be long sleeve because you get more color.
They should have been in black skivvies and berets and little round glasses and then just doing beat poetry.
Speaking of skivvies.
Cherries and banana.
Our friends and Auntie Donna just came back from LA and have they told you about how they went to some magic
I saw a photo
place?
On Facebook.
And they, so there's a sign, it's some sort of place where you go and see magic or something.
Yeah.
And there's a sign out the front.
Do you mean
saying,
like a theater that has a magic show?
I guess so. It's like a magic castle or something. And they there's a sign out the front that says you must be wearing a shirt and tie or a suit, a jacket and tie. But below that it says an alternative is you can wear skivvies or turtlenecks, which are basically the same thing.
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's just the different names. So they all wore matching turtlenecks.
That
like
is
a brown, a greeny khaki brown.
That is a thing of beauty.
So good. So, so good. What legends.
So these...
Oh, so it's fine when they wear it, but not the Wiggles. Yeah, I see how it is.
Well, Auntie Donna can do no wrong in my eyes.
Yeah, Jess is an Auntie Donna completist. They could do no wrong.
They can do no wrong.
So they performed at a childcare centre.
Not a problem. It'd be so fine.
Oh, okay.
In fact, that would be a great show.
Look, I'd say that's probably a bad idea, but...
yeah, probably, with some of their content.
In a move that rocked... This is some of my finer writing at late at night. In a move that rocked the preschool music world, they changed from wearing the bright multicoloured patterned shirts to one specified colour for each wiggle. They went to a Sydney department store and each picked out a colour. Murray went red.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff went purple.
Purple, good choice, Jeff.
Greg went yellow.
Yep.
And Anthony went...
blue.
Green.
Excuse me?
What?
Excuse me?
There was no blue?
I should have known because you paused. I should have known it was a trap.
It was a trap.
There was no blue. Oh, that would look silly. Green, yellow, red,
and
purple.
I reckon it's weird without the green because you've got...
Nah, blue's good.
It's weird.
Purple already.
It's weird to go purple before green, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Green is the next logical step. That's the fourth colour.
Outside of the primaries, green's got to be the next one.
Yeah, that's the best secondary colour, right?
So Jeff fucked it up when he picked purple, basically.
I want purple. Oh, for fuck's sake, Jeff. For fuck's sake.
Blue's right there. Jeez.
But you fell asleep during the fitting and now you want purple.
This guy.
Fucking
hell. Say for fuck's sake.
For fuck's sake, Jeff.
Maybe he's a big fan of the Phantom.
Well, actually, one week when I was away, you talked about the Phantom being the worst superhero, and I was yelling at the radio because I was listening in the car. The Phantom is my personal favourite superhero.
Of course it is. Really? Of course it is.
So purple, actually, now you say it, is a dashing colour. And Jeff,
so
you're a great man.
In the Do Go On Skivvy Challenge. What a bird. Are you going to wear purple?
Well, yellow. Greg?
Greg Yellow.
That was always my favourite as a kid.
Yeah, the front man.
I loved him.
I always liked Anthony.
He was the tall guy. Right.
Anthony, which is what colour?
Blue.
Blue and Matt.
I was a Murray man.
Murray. Okay, well, that works red. Well. You can be red.
Because he's the guitarist, the cool.
Yeah, he's the cool funny one.
So none of us
he's
like
Jeff.
He's
the Chandler Bing of the group.
He's not the funny one.
He's the funny one.
Is
for
he
sure.
funny?
He's very funny.
But the point is none of us
he
like Jeff.
He came up with the Dorothy the dinosaur laugh. Which I didn't know was a thing, but I read that last night. Apparently she's got an iconic laugh.
Oh, doesn't she like... Oh, I won't try and do it. It's like a high-pitched sort of giggle she does, I think.
Nah, try it. Come on, I don't know.
No, but I'll do it wrong. I don't know.
But because of... so.
Is that funny, is it? Coming up with a laugh for a
character. That's one of his many very quirky attributes.
Oh, he's so funny.
He's a real card.
He's so funny.
But he... So his they got his wife to make the Dorothy the Dinosaur outfit.
He's married.
And...
bombshell.
Sorry, ladies. And he... But because of that... Because of the green of Dorothy the Dinosaur, that's why Anthony changed from green and picked blue.
Sure.
Oh, see, that makes... All right, good. Makes justified. Sense. That's fine. But
D-O-R-O-T-H-Y. My grandma's name's Dorothy, and that's how I learnt to spell Dorothy. Dorothy the dinosaur.
Fantastic.
Romp-omp-a-stomp. Hey! Okay, maybe I did know the
bit of rock and roll.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
Romp-omp-a-stomp.
Hey.
That was definitely a Cockroaches song.
Yeah, it definitely was.
They self-funded a video clip for the whole first album.
An hour long?
Several clips.
Yeah, just all on the same set.
Oh, wow.
One take.
Super cut up. They had put the basic sets and costumes together themselves. And in this Paul Field interview, it was like tongue-in-cheek, obviously, but he was like, I don't know what all this hype is about Beyoncé's Lemonade visual album. We did it 20 years ago.
Oh, Paul Field.
Just on a smaller budget.
What a character. Another card. That's a band full of bloody cards.
Yeah. It's the Fields. They're just a funny bunch.
Oh, they are.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Squarespace, the all-in-one website platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. Whether it's your first ever website or your business is expanding, Squarespace makes it easy to create a beautiful website and engage with your audience.
Upload video content, organize your video library, and showcase your content on beautiful video pages. You can even sell access to your video library by adding a paywall to your content. Cha-ching.
You can help with written content on your website with Squarespace AI, which I use to write this next sentence, so check this out. Generate instant, personalized results that know and show your brand identity. Explain what your site is about, choose your tone, and enter what you need to get short or long-form text. Squarespace AI makes it easier to go live, stand out, and succeed online.
Oh, Dave, if only it could also not just write it, but read it too.
And edit it.
Hey, sell exclusive content on your site by adding a paywall to sell memberships or courses. Or sell files your customers can download, like PDFs, music, or ebooks. Man, it's starting to sound like I'm obsessed with money.
And you are. So head to squarespace.com/dogoon for a free trial and to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
The Wiggles then began touring around Australia playing for, like, you know, playgroup associations and mothers groups and preschools and community.
And the mums like throwing their undies up at the stage.
They drove themselves around. They were their own roadies. That's
do they have a van?
Yeah, they got two. They were going around with two vans. Oh, so Greg in one van with the PA, and then the others in the other van with the props and costumes.
Greg is such a loner. He's like, guys, there's still two other seats up front. Now, nah, Greg, right? You'll be right.
It was like this was that was.
But there's four of you. You could just go two and two.
See you there, Greg. See ya. Oh fuck!
You didn't
give me the address. Fuck off, Greg.
Keep up, Greg.
You're all a bit squished at the front. There's plenty of room next to me. I've got treats.
No, I'd rather share a seatbelt with Jeff than get in the car with Greg.
Yeah, thanks, Stinky Greg. Thanks, but no thanks, mate.
That was one time!
Fuck off, Greg. Poor Greg.
Is Greg the former roadie?
Yeah, he is.
So that's why they were like, carry it in yourself, mate.
Yeah.
You know what you're doing.
He gets there 2 hours before everyone else is set up.
Aww.
That, through those times, they were playing 3 or 4 shows a day, up to 26 days in a row. Like,
what?
Hectic. And the shows were like around an hour long sort of thing, so pretty full on.
Do you reckon they were drinking a lot too? Because we've been on tour.
They must have still been.
We know what tours are bloody like.
Yeah, and they would have been in their 20s still. Like,
yeah.
But the thing, the Cockroaches were a band for about 9 years, so I.
They knew what they were doing, I suppose.
So Anthony must have. He must have started that band very young. Because he doesn't seem that old now.
I thought they were only in their like mid-40s.
Yeah.
No.
That doesn't add up, though.
No, it doesn't. He's
only 91.
Jeff is much older than the others. He's in his 60s.
Yeah.
You're kidding.
Which is weird. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, I feel like Anthony might be 50
I
now.
I think they're all in their mid-50s.
Right. Yeah, wow. There's a little
you
bit
you know what?
Of
he's thing. Still a massive babe.
What a fox.
Anthony.
Which, oof.
And the fat.
Oof. Yeah.
Anthony.
Blue.
I struggle with the names.
Sure. We'll just call him Gladick.
I mean, yeah, call him Hot Wiggle.
Hot Wiggle, Blue. Just keep up, mate. Hot Blue Wiggle.
Each year they would release a new video and album and then tour for about 10 months on the back of it to promote it.
That's
and
incredible.
That's exactly what Beyonce does. She releases an album, videos, and tours. They really did set the precedent.
Yeah. Come on, Beyonce.
Rip off.
For Beyonce. God.
Figure out your
been
shit.
Been done, Beyonce.
Oh, I hate how people think that she's some sort of visionary.
No.
She's done nothing original.
No.
My God. They performed to children, and her first band was called Destiny's Child.
Yep. Oh my God, you're right.
It all lines up.
You're right, Dave. When you're right, you're right.
Thank you.
She had that big song.
Hot Potato.
Hot Potato.
Yeah. Wow, that her first big, they put it on the map.
Mm.
That's what got Jay-Z interested.
All the cold spaghettis. All the cold spaghettis. All the cold spaghettis. All the cold spaghettis.
Put a red car on it.
Put a red car on it.
It'd be like, and then you should have put a big red car on it. Yeah, it doesn't work.
And then they started doing even more than one album a year. Like, they were pumping them out. Funny, anyway. They apparently, in 1994, in one tour, they performed 63 shows in 17 days.
No.
With
No.
Oh, man, it's full on.
No, thank you.
And Greg, the math. And Greg was on his own the whole time. It's very sad.
Just in the car. He would fart
they
all he
talk,
wanted.
They would not
family.
Talk to him. Don't look at his. Don't look at him.
They'd reject his calls. He'd stay in a separate hotel. No, he'd stay in a motel, and they'd stay in a hotel.
Hey, here's
he'd stay in a caravan park, sleep in the van with the PA.
With the PA.
Dave, mate, we can't be sure that it'll be safe. You better just sleep in the van with it. You stay here. Yeah.
Hey, better just be safe. We can't afford. We can't afford any security.
But so, maybe you guys could sleep in a 4-star hotel instead of 5-star, and we could afford security.
We wish we could, mate. Sorry, we wish we could.
You know that's not how children's entertainment works.
Our hands are tied.
Hey, did you guys know that the original Big Red Car video featured a big red car made of plywood constructed by Jeff?
No.
Fact.
Really? Great fact. Great fact, Matt.
Did you write? Can you show me that you wrote? He wrote fact in capital letters.
Is it an exclamation mark?
No exclamation.
He never uses
it. I didn't feel like he said it with an exclamation point.
No, that was a flat.
That was a flat fact.
He held up a finger that looked a lot like an exclamation point.
I feel like everything I say has exclamation, and therefore
you write a lot exclamation
all the time. And then sometimes I just write little compliments in there for myself just to read. Like, hey, Jess, you're doing a really good job.
Hey, Jess.
So I'm like halfway through the podcast, I just see a little note. It's like, hey, keep up the good work, you little superstar. You're a human ray of sunshine. I'm like, thanks, past me.
That is
a great tactic for keeping up.
I don't actually do
spirits.
That.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
Can I just say, so they've released multiple albums, and we can still only name about 3 songs. Are all albums, like, full fresh track listing?
They do a lot of traditional songs, like reworkings, but yeah.
What do you mean traditional? Like an Advanced Australia
Fair? Like Twinkle Little Star, maybe. Oh. I don't know if it was one, but stuff like that.
They did a version of Octopus's Garden, because they have Henry the Octopus.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Oh.
And it might be Henry that sings it, maybe. Yeah. So they do cool stuff. They do one about roosters and ducks. Quack, 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 cock-a-doodle-doo.
Oh.
And then it goes quack, 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 well. A-doodly-doo.
It's funny that I know all of these songs.
Every time I start them, you know.
Back in my hand.
Brainwashed.
A quack, 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 cock-a-doodle-doo, quack, quack. Actually, so, I used to watch the show.
Did just confirm that was a Wiggles song, not a Cockroaches song?
That was probably a rework.
That would have gone down a storm at like a Newcastle
a
pub.
Yeah.
RSL tour. At first, the 4 Wiggles would play all the characters in their shows. Murray would play Dorothy the Dinosaur.
Lol.
Jeff would be Henry the Octopus. And Anthony played Wags the Dog and Captain Feathersaw.
So they didn't trust Greg with a second character. Notice that?
They hate Greg so much.
Greg, just look after the PA, mate. You're the sound man.
Guys, well, Anthony's
I mean,
got,
you're the front man. You're the front man. But you're also the sound man.
Anthony's got 2 characters. I mean, that's a lot of pressure on him. I could do one of them. Don't even.
Greg, can you just.
You think you could do Wags the Dog? Come on. Hey, boys.
Greg, all right.
Greg reckons he can do Wags.
Yeah, no, you're right. I'll just mind the PA.
Oh,
yeah.
You're a funny fucker, aren't you, Greg? You're a piece of shit, but you're a funny fucker, you're funny, Greg, you stinky bastard.
You are this close to being kicked out of the band and just being the mixing man, all right?
If you're lucky, we'll let you mix.
Your second character is the PA security guard. And he has no lines.
So aggressive.
If you didn't have such a beautiful goddamn singing voice, yeah, Greg, you'd be out on your ear. Yeah. Oh my god, you do things to me when you sing, though.
Oh, wow.
Oh. Eventually, this was proving to be a bit much, so they brought in a man named Paul Paddock.
Paul Paddock.
Paul was WAPA trained.
Oh, hello.
You know WAPA? Oh,
the Western Australian WAPA. Performing Arts.
He's a Western Australian
Academy
actor.
Of Performing Arts. So he was obviously qualified to be a dinosaur and a pirate or whatever.
Did you write it like that too?
Yeah, I did. although he was told that he'd have plenty of time to rehearse his roles, they got to the venue the night before. And it's a bit late. We'll run through it with you tomorrow before we go. And then sort of gave him a quick run through, and then it was just shows on.
Improv.
And he's
And
he was just like having to keep up, like, I'm a dog.
That's so great.
He'd never met the other three.
Oh my God.
They wouldn't let him meet Greg because he probably wouldn't have been in the band if he'd met Greg. Probably would have been like, oh, who's this dickhead? Yeah. You let him be the leader?
Like, no, thank you. But then Greg would start singing and he'd be like, I understand.
Oh, I need a couple of minutes.
I need a cold shower. I'll be in my hotel room.
I'll be in my Motel 6.
Anthony has since said that Paul came back maybe a stone lighter, which I think is olden days talk for weight.
Yes.
But he loved the experience.
Yes, definitely a measurement.
He had a pocket full of stones.
Olden days.
He danced so hard, one of them fell out. But he loved the experience. And the boys said to me, we got to keep him. He's really funny and it's been bloody brilliant ever since. Apparently that's what Anthony said.
So does he actually play all the characters?
No, he plays Wags.
I think he's the pirate. I think he's the... Oh. I think he does a bit of everything. But now they've all got their own actor.
Yeah.
But did he perform with them for a long time and became
still
like...
Does.
So he's like he is the fifth Wiggle.
In some ways, I guess.
Yeah.
Depending on what you mean by fifth Wiggle. He's the George Martin fifth Wiggle, whereas Nigel... Classical music guy, whatever his name was.
Philip.
I think it was Nigel Philip.
Philip.
No, it wasn't Philip Williams.
Phil Will. It was Phil Will.
Philip something. The classical guy. He's more the
Chopin.
Sutcliffe.
It was Chopin.
By 95 and 96, the Wiggles were performing 500 shows a year in Australia.
The fuck?
That's a lot.
By 1995 and 1996, the Wiggles were performing 500 shows a year in Australia.
That is what? Insane. In
no.
Does that mean they're doing tours as well?
Yeah, including tours and stuff. So
no, but do you mean like they're going overseas as well? Oh, right, sorry.
At this stage, it was nearly all still in Australia.
That's multiple shows a day.
Greg was saying that...
Oh.
This is a quote from Greg.
Can't be trusted.
I wouldn't fully... I mean, if you
take this with a grain of salt.
Yeah, grain of salt. Mm. Bloody block your nose while we go.
Stinky Greg.
Smells like shit.
That's awful. He gets sick.
He goes, we might play 3 shows in Lithgow one day, 3 the next in Bathurst, 4 shows in Dubbo, then the same in Young and Griffith. That's a very interesting quote, classic Greg.
In a day.
This is each day.
Yeah, each day. Like they're going town to town.
They're not doing 20 shows in a day.
No, but I mean...
each of those stops in a day, yeah.
So
one after the other, just going to a town and just smashing out.
But you can, because it's children, so you can start. You can do a 10 a.m. show.
That's true.
12,
yes.
2,
that's true.
4, just, out.
They're basically working like real people, doing a job. Come on, Greg.
Come on, Greg.
No way. No.
Wash your skippy, Greg.
That's insane.
But he was saying, and then. In Griffith, they had sold out 4 shows of 1,000 people. So they were starting to play at a big...
Oh, so it's not like they're like, well, we've got to keep going because we only sold 30 tickets today.
Yeah, they're not grinding it out.
They'd be making good money.
That's incredible.
Why would you need to push it that hard?
No, but that's the thing. Well, I'm saying, like, they're lucky because you can't do that with comedy because, like, you can't do comedy at 11 a.m. Trust me. So you do, like, the most we would
do...
They
do in Edinburgh.
Yeah, that's true. The most we'd do on tour would be 2 shows and you'd have, like, a 6 p.m. and a 9 p.m. And, like, 1 show is exhausting. Doing 2 nearly killed me.
And how many minutes did you
4
do?
15 minutes.
These guys are doing, like, 4 1-hour shows
and
for kids.
And
like,
they're
there's
jumping
no
around and
there's
singing.
There's no break for these kids.
I walked a couple of meters because I like to move around the stage a bit. That's I can't even. That's insane.
No wonder Greg smelled like shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but the others, they kept it clean. Yeah. So, you know.
I don't work that hard, but I smell great.
Just a couple of little squirts. Just a couple of squirts under in your pits there, Greg.
They wouldn't let Greg have deodorant.
Oh, that's probably
fair. Well, it's their own fault then, isn't it?
Yeah.
Self-inflicted.
But the touring kicked off album sales to another level because they were...
Oh, selling merch at the gigs.
They were selling merch. They were selling Dorothy tails, Dorothy hats.
Yes.
Tapes, CDs, and they'd just bring... they'd lug around some suitcases full of...
Sorry, I'll stop you there. You mean Greg would lug around some suitcases.
But their albums are starting to, like, go off. They hit gold, platinum, / multi-platinum status.
Oh, in Australia, platinum is 70,000 units.
That is incredible.
So multiple of that.
Mm.
That's amazing.
So around this time, they were trying to get themselves onto the TV as well. ABC was sort of showing some of those clips that they'd filmed. But they were building up such a big audience, and they created and self-funded. This is something they also talk about. They always self-fund. They never borrow money to make things or cut deals so someone else has creative control. And that was something that they'd learnt from the Cockroaches days, where one of their labels was overreaching a bit and making them, you know, go in directions they didn't necessarily want to
do. They didn't want to be slaves to the man.
Yeah,
good exactly. on him. Good on him.
Which is yeah, kind of a thing.
But I don't think
it also means you get a lot more money back.
That's right.
You get all of it.
I don't think we'd take that sort of approach, though. Like, if anybody wanted to give us money to do this, we'd be like, yeah, whatever you want.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll wear a skivvy.
I'd wear a skivvy.
Oh, totally.
If I was being paid.
Fuck yeah.
Fuck
yeah.
What?
No questions asked. Skivvy me up.
I've worn a skivvy for free before.
Have you?
We've got a couple in our costume area. And we made a sketch where we're all wearing skivvies. And we were talking about turtlenecks.
Great.
The turtleneck is a beautiful piece of fashion.
You got to hold out. Can't believe you did it for free.
Evan, talking about stuff we're going to cut out. But Evan was like, never. You know, he normally very quickly cut together sketches. Mm. It was always on the bottom of the pile. I'm not even sure if it ever got cut together. It was very funny to watch, anyway. what the fuck? Oh, yeah. So, they were keen to get a TV show together. They self-funded one in 98, which got interest from Channel 7. They broadcast it, and also on the Disney Channel, which had just launched here in Australia.
Wow.
And then from there, things started happening in America. The show was broadcast with Fox Kids, and then they started to perform in some theme parks in the USA. But apparently a lot of those early audiences were tiny. Like, I read that they would perform sometimes in car parks, just a small handful of audience members, which would be so weird
being when
big
to...
somewhere else and then going there.
Yeah.
Hey, look at me.
Trust me, we're pretty good.
We're pretty good.
Yeah.
Bring your kids.
I think they'd probably blame Greg for not doing enough self-promotion.
Oh, Greg.
Like, Greg, why hadn't you put our shit up on YouTube? On what? Fucking Greg.
Greg.
Doesn't exist yet. Yeah, you've always got excuses.
Yeah, you always say that. You said that about hoverboards last week.
Piece of shit.
In 99, their trajectory is just on the up and on the up. And they'd self-funded a second TV series, which was broadcast in the UK, Australia, and the US. And they'd started a tour overseas in the UK, Ireland, the USA, and New Zealand. You know, smaller crowds, but starting to build them up a little bit. And in Australia, they were still touring everywhere, like right through the tiny towns that no one else would go, and just packing out, you know, the little country venues. When they went back to America, the Wiggles... Jeff, his tummy's rumbling.
Sorry.
When they went back to America, they performed at Disneyland, which we've talked about in the past, and were filmed for a TV special in Australia. So they were over there, but it was for Australian TV. It's still way bigger here than they were anywhere else. But in the crowd that day were executives from the Lyric Studios, which is a Texas-based studio, and the vice president at the time, Debbie Rice.
I like the cut of your jib, son.
Yeah. She said, there was an audience. Oh, nice. Yep. Someone, did you see someone?
Yeah, you've been praised by two separate people about your accent from last week.
And they said it was a Minnesota accent, which I definitely agree with.
Yeah, great. I did watch Beverly Hills when I was a kid. So, and the two K characters move from Minnesota.
Sure.
Sure. All right. So the Texan lady, she said, there was an audience of American children mostly that had never seen the Wiggles before, and they immediately got up and started dancing and interacting with the music. That's when I knew for sure that we had something that would be really big. Pew, pew, pew. And then she's just shot into the air.
And all the kids run away.
Like the Simpsons Texas guy. So following the Disneyland appearance, the Wiggles were signed to Lyric Studios, which was also the home of a little guy called Barney the Friendly Dinosaur.
Oh, okay.
Any memory of that?
Yeah.
Like I like me.
Yes.
I like me. I'm the best awful, that I can stuff. Be. 2 + 2 = 4. I can see why this is so popular.
So yeah, that which was huge for them, obviously. And interestingly, I guess, you know, obviously the USA is sort of the home of entertainment. Hollywood and everything's over there. And traditionally, they did not care for international preschool shows.
Huh.
They apparently, Thomas the Tank Engine,
yes.
They took that on, but they totally revoiced it. They took out Ringo Starr's voice and put an American in.
The Fat Controller.
They're like, I don't think the kids here are going to be able to understand what that English accent is all about. Same with Bob the Builder, apparently.
Bob the Builder, can we fix it?
I never even watched Bob the Builder. Is it voice?
It's an English guy, yeah.
Yes, I didn't know that.
I've got a hammer in a nail here, Governor.
He never says Governor.
Huh. I'm remembering it funny.
Why would he say Governor? He's a tradie.
So there was talk that maybe they'd somehow dub it or something into American. But
that'd be amazing.
The Wiggles, they from their experience, they were like, as long as they can understand us, the children won't give a shit about the accent, right? And the Wiggles stayed true to themselves. They
self-funded their accents.
And then, yeah, once the Wiggles got out into the American kid public.
Mm, kid public.
They got right into it. They bloody loved it.
I think that's kind of, it's weird that American... big wigs are like, no, but the Americans won't understand you. And it's like,
I'm talking to you right now.
Yeah, you do understand me.
Look, I'm not getting any of that. Do you, I mean, can we get a translator in?
We don't need a translator. I can understand you perfectly.
I'm so sorry. Hey, you look like a lovely person, but these noises you're making are very confusing to me.
But kids seem to love them.
They do.
They love the chugger, big red car. What does that mean?
Big red car. I don't know.
I've never seen one of those.
It's interesting.
Okay. Was that some sort of kangaroo?
I love these characters that you've created. Also, Dave, yours is quite sassy.
Yeah, okay.
Is it a woman?
I don't know what you just said to me, but I think the tone was offensive, so I'm going to stop you right there, take a chill pill, a chillax shall be taken, and then maybe we can do business.
Okay.
Okay.
These bloody brutes from down under. I
just don't understand.
Jeez Louise.
God, do you want to be rich? Come on.
I want some of this American cha-ching-a.
Have you heard of the Dorothy? I mean, not Dorothy, you know, Al Dinosaur? What's the purple one?
Barney.
Barney. Sorry.
Barney.
Yeah, okay, I understood Barney. That word because that's our word. Yeah. That's our word. Don't you take our word, okay?
Barney.
Okay, you take that back. My God, that's our word for you. You Barney. And Sane.
The lyric had a mantra and it was, if they see them, they will love them. So...
It's a weird fucking mantra.
They said that to everything.
Yeah, they sat down and meditated on that.
Lyric's mantra was American.
Fuck yeah.
America.
So they were keen and they believed.
Were they keen for pain?
They were keen for pain. Oh my goodness.
So that sweet Jeff Fat pain.
But they wanted to hook the Wiggles to the Barney freight train because Barney was huge at the time. That's what they did. So they tacked on Wiggles clips to the start of episodes of Barney or whatever. So the Barney videos would have a pre-roll. Not pre-roll, but whatever back then. Whatever the olden days thing was of pre-roll. And that worked really well. And it meant, you know, the kids were loving the hot potato. They wanted more of the hot potato sort of stuff.
Who doesn't? Once you have one hot potato, you're like, ooh.
Man, I just got hungry for hot potato.
I'm just hungry in general.
And then they started getting them to be a live support for Barney at his live shows. So in the intermission, which there's an intermission at the Barney shows,
that's great.
They would play in that. And
kids got to pee.
Went off.
Imagine an intermission at a kid's show would be very difficult.
Yeah, that'd be no good. All right, everybody. It's not really an intermission if you're just going to plug it with more entertainment, is it?
Mm.
It's just like, I guess as Barney gets to go and like ring out his...
Yeah, the Barney guy just gets hosed down.
Yeah, bloody, it would be awful in that thing, I imagine.
Gets hosed down. They just have a big bucket of ice out the back.
Prepare the Barney hose. You know that people that wear those suits often wear ice vests underneath?
Really?
Just to keep them cool, yeah.
Apparently the Barney tour sold 60,000 tickets. So there was a lot of people saw them.
60,000.
A lot of new kids.
Far out.
I guess all kids are new in a way, aren't they?
Wow, that's beautiful.
Thank you. So after that season, two Wiggles videos shot to number one and number two, top two in the Amazon charts. And then Walmart started stocking the Wiggles videos. And yeah, just that was when they really kicked off over there. They started headlining their own shows from then in America. And during one of these first tours, the New York Times first wrote about them. And the quote was, they called them the band that rocks the cradle, which is...
That's cool.
Yeah, it is cool, but it's like...
They took the day off after that headline.
The references to it like a horror film, right? Or like a... Anyway, the hand that rocks the cradle was like a weird movie where a woman tried to steal a baby or something. All right. Oh, yeah, and they also got included in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade.
Wow.
Which apparently is a huge thing and a big deal. Millions and millions of people see it.
Wow.
Apparently, I read that millions of people see it live. That can't be right, can it?
I think they line the streets.
But millions of people, that's
televised,
intense.
Though. Is it televised?
It is, but live, they said. And tens of millions watch it on TV.
Oh, shit.
Millions watch it live.
No, thank you. Oh,
that
crowds.
Sounds like no good.
No, that would make me so anxious.
Things are still going great back at home in Australia. In 1998, in Adelaide, a shopping centre appearance made TV news because it had to be cut short because of dangerously large crowds.
For a shopping centre?
Yeah, the Wiggles.
That's amazing.
Hey, Jess, I reckon you might have had some involvement in this as a 9-year-old. In 1999, Anthony Field was crowned Clio Bachelor of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Remember like it was yesterday.
You voted?
Oh, Mama. He's hot. He was already hot, and now he's got like a salt and pepper because he's a bit older. Mm.
Okay. And he was Bachelor of the Year.
Yeah, what a weird... That seems
strange. You don't think you can have a boyfriend or girlfriend and still be nominated? You just can't be married. That's
married. Yeah. Ah.
So he could have been in a relationship for 10 years and his girlfriend could have been, no, he's the bachelor.
Yeah, that's a weird thing. That's a very old school thing, talking about it like marriage still counts.
No, he's still available because he's not married.
Yeah, technically.
And that is where Beyonce was inspired by her song.
I think this paragraph must have been, like, this is from the Paul Field thing, I think. And I think it must have been written a few years ago. And I think you might realize why. A duets album was released called It's a Wiggly Wiggly World, which saw the Wiggles perform with some of their dearest friends.
Oh no, it's like Princess Diana or
Australian country legend Slim Dusty, Jimmy Little, Kamal, Christine Arnoux,
what?
And Rolf Harris.
Okay. Oh no. Oh.
Some of their dearest friends.
Rolf Harris.
Imagine you don't want to still associate yourself with that.
Or Slim Dusty. Nah,
yeah.
He's a legend.
Yeah. And yeah.
Was a legend.
I'd love to
have
a beer
with
Duncan.
I'd
love to
have
a beer with
He's a fun.
Let's drink in moderation.
And we never ever get rolling drunk. We drink at the town and country.
Oh,
where the atmosphere is great.
I'd love to have a beer with Duncan, because Duncan's me, mate.
I know every word to that song. I don't know why, but I do. I
didn't even know that was Slim Dusty.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Okay, great.
And then he likes to have a beer with Patrick. With Pat. They drink in moderation. It wouldn't even matter if the beer was flat.
Oh, I want to drink with Slim.
It's so good. The best one is Robert. And he goes, I'd love to have a beer with Rob, and love to have a beer with Bob. We drink in moderation. He goes, really cheeky. He goes, just one more and back on the job. He's so cheeky.
What a cheeky.
What a larrikin.
What a cheeky larrikin.
Just one more. All right, Slim.
In the early... Sorry, Jess.
Not at all.
And what his other big hit was...
Pub with no beer.
It's all about beer with him.
Pub with no beer. It's nothing sadder. Dreary or glib. No, that's not right.
I don't know that one as well.
There's nothing so hurting or here as a happen with a pub with no beer.
It's great.
I reckon people in Ohio would really love Slim.
Yeah, I think they can really relate to our Australian pub music.
Pub music, it's a whole industry out here. That's how the Wiggles got started. Well, the Wiggles were a pub rock band.
That's true.
I reckon our podcast will go even better. We'll go even better overseas if we dubbed it.
Yeah. I think you two should just speak in those accents all the time.
I think, yeah, people overseas like to listen just from just sort of relaxing sounds.
Yeah, it's just a soundscape.
To them, it's all bubble.
The laugh is not relaxing for them. Then. It's kind of jolting.
I thought that was a bird. Yep, there it is.
Oh, it's a peaceful river with a bird.
And a really, really low sound coming from the other microphone.
A bumble.
The Wiggles started doing a lot of collabs. They worked with other...
Missy Elliott?
In the early 2000s. In the early 2000s, they got together with the
Croc Hunter.
Steve Irwin to make one of their most famous videos, which was called Wiggly Safari.
Oh, I don't even know that.
No.
That sounds great.
That sounds so good.
It was filmed at Steve and Terry Irwin's Australia Zoo, and apparently Steve, Terry and Bindi were big fans of the Wiggles.
Well, yeah.
Other big fans? There's heaps, and a lot of them like will come to the shows, apparently, and then, you know, with their kids, obviously.
Yeah.
Like James Hetfield from Metallica. Apparently he came one time and Murray spotted him in the crowd, so he started playing Enter Sandman riff. And then James Hetfield got up and gave him the sign of the devil.
And the other kids were like, sit down!
That's so cool.
Robert De Niro came in and wanted to meet them after a show one time.
You wiggling at me? You wiggling at me?
I'm wiggling here!
Hey!
That's so funny. Wouldn't you love to have that sort of star power where you could be like, I want to meet him. And they're like, yeah, no, sure, absolutely. I'd love that.
Be fun.
It would be.
Actually, no, I'd hate that. It's a lot of pressure.
I'd like Robert De Niro to want to meet me.
Yeah. I'm wiggling here.
Imagine. Apparently Anthony, after that, Anthony went to one of the other Wiggles. He's like, you know, this is great. It's probably going to make the next time we meet a Home and Away star a little less exciting.
Oh, yeah, nah. Good call.
When they were back in Australia, they received the ARIA's Outstanding Achievement Award.
Wow.
Australian Recording Industry Awards.
Mm-hmm.
Association.
It's Association.
Otherwise, it'd be ARIA. It'd be the Award Awards. Anyway. I'm so hungry. In 2005, Dreamworld on the Gold Coast, Australia's own Disneyland.
Well,
opened.
What, yeah, Disneyland, but better.
Yeah, yeah. It's got the giant drop.
What?
I love
Dreamworld. Actually,
I haven't been to Disneyland.
Dreamworld has tigers, to be fair.
White tigers.
But I've been to two Disneylands, and they were much better than Dreamworld.
Okay.
There, I said it.
Well, that's amazing.
There.
They must be amazingly good.
They are. They're the happiest places on earth.
Do they have a giant drop?
Yeah.
Really? But in Dreamworld, they were approached by Dreamworld to open a Wiggles World.
What?
Inside of Dreamworld.
Yes.
And they did it. And it features...
What a twist.
Long story short.
Long story short, they got offered a lot of cash and said, hell yeah.
Wiggles World features a big red car ride, Dorothy's Rosie Teacup ride, which is...
That's adorable. Is it still there?
Yeah.
I don't remember seeing it last time I was there, but you probably... Because as you go as an adult...
Yeah, you wouldn't
look for it. You don't look for the really kiddie stuff.
The SS Feather Sword, like a boat, I guess.
Has it still got Greg's Smelly Kingdom? Yeah. Just a really smelly room.
It's out the back.
Out the back.
That's the janitor's closet.
Yeah, it's got a big PA though. Huge.
Beautiful sound. Bassy. Big bassy sound. Yeah, so that's kind of cool. I did hear, like, I was reading in an interview with all of them, and they were talking about how they don't ever put their name to things they don't believe in. But they put it...
The SS Feather Sword, I love that.
They're the real-life Krusty the Clown, right? They just put... Their name is on everything.
Yeah.
At least in Australia.
Yeah.
But they're like, you know, only healthy things like yogurts and fruit juices and stuff. But
okay.
Fruit juices aren't...
They're not that healthy.
I don't think they are healthy, but still, they...
It's better than a soft drink.
Yeah, I guess so. So they definitely, they don't do anything that's like particularly bad, but they...
So they won't do like Wiggles radiation cans.
Yeah, I think I they... If
they said
I
no
they
to
drew
that.
The line there.
I wonder if there's ever been a Wiggles McDonald's collab.
Yeah, I feel like that would mean that would make a liar of them. I don't think so. No. I don't think they'd go
I don't remember
to that
one.
Sort of stuff.
But maybe the toys.
Oh, yeah, actually, mate. Oh! I'm really not sure. I don't know.
I don't think so. They started. They tested out the idea of franchising the band. They thought the best way to do it was in a small market. So they went to Taiwan and put together a band who performed in Mandarin, and it was quite successful. They also put together a Spanish speaking band of based Australians, but to tour South America.
Wow.
And both went quite well, but in the end they decided, and the feedback they got internationally was that they quite liked their videos, and the non-English speaking markets just dubbed their voices into the local language, but left the songs in English.
Oh, sure.
And saw them as like an educational thing, helping teach the kids English.
I reckon it's probably a bit like how we tried to have Australian Top Gear.
Yeah.
You know, like it's not the same.
It sort of
you can't capture that chemistry.
Yeah, because they just didn't seem like massive fuckheads.
Yeah,
I didn't see it. I assume they didn't. They probably needed to do more of that. They got referenced a lot, because they really got into, as Paul Field said, they really became part of the zeitgeist, and they realized this when they were just getting referenced on all sorts of shows. They've been referenced on ER, The West Wing, Scrubs, How I Met Your Mother, Two and a Half Men, Family Guy, 6 Feet Under, Arrested Development, Saturday Night Live, Kath and Kim, and movies such as Knocked Up, Life as We Know It, and Just Like Heaven.
And the Wiggles movie.
They also appeared as themselves, obviously, on shows like The View, Entertainment Tonight, Today Show, Jimmy Kimmel Show, The Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson. Great show. The Panel, Enough Rope with
the
Andrew
panel.
Denton.
Remember
and
The Panel?
Sunrise. Yeah, Panel's a great show.
Wow.
Really good show.
What a good show.
Greg the Yellow Wiggle started battling with health issues.
Oh, no.
I told you that at the start.
He apparently, even from 92, he was having bouts of tiredness.
Okay.
What? That's not a surprise when you're doing 600 shows a week.
Yeah,
but more than the others. Yeah, that's true. But he it ended up catching up with him, and he was diagnosed with a few different things, but yeah, it was like it affected his balance.
Yeah, he was quite unwell for a while.
And here's a quote from Greg at the time. This emotional decision was one which was very difficult, as I've dedicated almost half my life to the Wiggles, and with a question mark over my health, I feel that this is the right decision. I wish the guys continued success and welcome Sam Moran with open arms into the Yellow Skivvy.
That'd be hard.
I know he's a great performer, is well equipped to be the Yellow Wiggle, and I hope the other guys will talk to him like they didn't talk to me. Which was not, I thought that was nice.
Yeah. That was nice, yeah. Of course they didn't
that
talk
would
to
be,
him.
Imagine how hard it would be taking over.
Yeah, that was true. And Sam Moran, he'd
he's
been around,
cool.
He was like the understudy for Greg for quite a while. So he'd been around, he knew it all.
But understudies?
He was worried about... Yeah, like that's how big of the operation was. But he was worried about how the kids were going to take to him.
Yeah.
You know, he said it helped the video that had Greg handing over the Yellow Skivvy helped explain it to a lot of them, and he said most of them got it sort of.
And also, like, they have a new generation of fans every like 3 years, because there's only like a certain amount of window where you are a big Wiggles fan genuinely. And now, obviously, I would say that I think the Wiggles are cool, but I'm not there.
But I also think...
Target market.
I think the thing with like being a fan of something as an adult is that you do get quite fanatical and you would like research and you know things about all the performers and stuff. And so you do get really attached to them. I think with kids, they're just kind of like, ah, cool, another dude just...
Whoa, he sings a song.
Yeah,
they're just playing their fun music and I like to dance and he seems nice. Like, I don't think they're going to be like, no, you're not Greg.
Wait, you're not Greg.
No. He'd go, hello, I'm Sam. They go, cool, you're Sam.
Hi, Sam.
Yeah, exactly. Kids are cool.
Kids are all right. But apparently it was pretty brutal for Sam. Apparently they, like, he was known as the salaried wiggle. All of the other ones were partners in the company.
Oh.
But he was just getting a wage.
So they were all earning millions a year. His wage was like, you know, it was $200,000 a year. But he, like, they would sort of...
Oh, shit.
He was never fully welcomed into the band as a full member.
So they'd drive the Aston Martins to the gig and he'd still get the bus.
Yeah. But I'm like, he's earning $200,000 a year, but still.
Wow. Good point, though. Shit. He's not getting a cut of all the...
Yeah, but why should he? He didn't create it.
Well, I mean, if you think of it as a band, if you join a band, that's how it normally works.
Yeah, but he's joining a business, not a band.
They're more of, yeah. So
by this stage, they're an international business.
Which is fine, but like making fun of him for it is like some sort of, it's like a soft form of bullying.
Yeah.
The other members made fun of him?
Yeah, apparently.
Oh, shit.
I thought you meant the press was talking about him. They were like, hey, celery man.
Yeah,
I own you. Dance, piggy.
So Greg, and Greg was obviously a full member, but to leave, he decided to be bought out from his share, and he got bought out for $20 million.
Wow.
5 years later, he was feeling healthier and he wanted to join the band back again. And he did, and that's when some stuff came out, like about the salary, like nicknames and stuff like that.
Oh.
Started coming out. And it sounded like Anthony sounded pretty cold around this time, and his brother Paul has said that this is the only time that they really felt backlash as a band in their whole career. This was the only time they really felt like, apparently it was a really tough time. Apparently Anthony Field, in an interview, dismissed Sam as just a hired hand. Why are you asking about him? He's just a hired hand. What Sam does now is Sam's thing. His contract has come to an end. Sam was just doing a job. He was a hired hand. I haven't spoken to him. Why are you asking me about him? Sort of thing. I don't want to speak for a guy. I don't know how he feels. So he's just, pretty cold. It sounds like maybe he was a bit fed up with questions. You don't know necessarily, but it's like, oh, that's not good PR for a big multi-million dollar company.
Mm.
And for Greg to come back, did he have to buy his way back in?
He's
been paid out, or no, is he now on a wage?
I think that's what happened to him as well. So he was just back in on a salary.
God, I hope it was more than $200,000 a year, because if you've just been paid $20 million, you'd probably be like, well, I probably don't have to do this anymore.
So that in the years after Greg got back in with the band, the popularity was starting to decline a little bit. Like, their income was still, millions a year, and they were still on like the BRW Australian Entertainers Rich List, right up towards the top. But the money was shrinking year after year. And something they've sort of mentioned was like they were making $20+ million a year, but that was like the gross amount. There's a lot of, they've got a big staff. They've got to pay for all the touring, a bus, and there's a lot of expenses that go out as well. I was saying, even some of the years where they were bringing in $20+ million, they were making a loss some years.
What?
Years they were investing in, I guess they're...
Got to spend money and make money, baby.
Exactly, baby.
Dave, say baby.
Oh, baby.
That's gross.
You asked for it.
I did. Feel dirty.
Feel dirty.
Baby.
Like a baby.
Who shat itself?
Yep, exactly.
So as they were starting to decline, some of the original members, so we're back to the original four, and they were starting to think about, the future. They're getting a bit older. Jeff, was pushing towards 60. And he and Murray decided that it was time. Greg wasn't ready. He'd only just come back to the band for a little while.
And they wanted to leave. What a surprise. What a surprise. Hey, guys, I'm back. Yeah, we just discussed it. We're out.
We're done. We're dunsies.
You're the Wiggles, Greg. You are the Wiggles.
So
Wiggle on.
But Greg eventually decided that if the other two were leaving, it was best to do it all at the same time.
And Anthony's like, oh, fucking hell.
Well, Anthony, it feels like in this research, it feels like Anthony is the band, kind of.
Mm.
He brought on his brother to manage. Like, I think they're really the core of the operation. I think they also thought that it'd be best to have one of the original members to sort of transition. The replacement, Purple, Red, and Yellow Wiggles. For the first time, the new Yellow Wiggle was a lady.
Woo! Oh. Her name's Emma?
Emma Watkins.
Emma.
Then there's also Simon Pierce and Lachlan Gillespie. Lachlan, so now Wake Up Jeff is Wake Up Lockie.
Oh,
is
I love it? The name Lockie. That's
Wake
very
up
cute.
Lockie.
Wake Up Lockie.
Look, why don't they just change their names legally to Jeff?
Yeah, and
all four of them.
Emma should be Greg.
I'm Jeff. I'm Jeff. I'm Jeff. I'm Jeff.
Oh, okay. They're all Jeff. 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 They have to do like a harmonizing Jeff. Like Jeff. That's why we're not a band.
Yeah. yes.
So.
And did that bring them more success?
And yeah, there's been a bit of a bounce in popularity, that sort of stuff, which is smart. I mean, it's, you know, they're for kids. They were getting. They needed to freshen it up a bit.
Mm.
And is Anthony still there?
Anthony's still there till this very day.
Wow. And it didn't I think two of them got married. I think Emma and Lockie got married. Emma and Lockie?
Really? Do they talk about that on the Wiggles?
That was pretty much kept a secret for a long time.
It was very recently they got married.
Oh.
But it is the Purple and Yellow Wiggle. Yeah, yeah. So Lockie and Emma.
Yeah, I remember seeing photos.
They had a secret love affair for 2 years.
Aww.
But yeah, now they're out and proud. I think they're having a kid.
Oh, really?
I think they're having a baby Wiggle.
Oh my God, a baby Wiggle.
Wow. Do you reckon,
what does Purple and Yellow make as a colour?
Brown.
Brown.
Poo brown.
Which is appropriate because babies shit a lot.
Okay.
What about, are they also... Are they also on a wage?
Yeah, so they're all salaried. So the business is still run by those three. The three guys are still sort of running the show. They're the three partners.
Oh, the Greg and
Greg. Oh, not Greg. Murray.
Yeah, Greg.
Jeff.
Oh, and
Anthony.
Yeah, sorry,
and
out.
Greg's out.
Greg's gone. Do you reckon they all still have like
$20 million he got paid for?
Do you reckon they all still have barbecues together? Like, are they mates? Do you reckon?
I think they're still mates. Yeah. I believe so.
I remember Murray being on Spicks and Specks. He's a funny fucker.
Oh, hang on. Who's come back to the party? I said Murray was the funny one, you fucking piece of work. How dare you?
Hey, we can all agree.
I can't believe you questioned me on that, and you knew.
I knew.
There's only one thing we can agree on, and that is that Greg smells.
Yeah, that's what we can all agree on.
Apparently Murray was the one, whenever there were like heated discussions, Murray was the chilled out, hey guys, come on.
That sounds
bring
right.
It together.
That sounds right. God, I love Murray.
Yeah. He's also 6'5", Murray.
That's very tall.
That
very
is tall. No.
Good.
So when he was when he was playing Dorothy the dinosaur, that was a scary, hulking dinosaur.
Dave looks like terrified because it, not in the he, like well, he's just realized 6'5" is a height.
Is he actually 6'5"?
Yeah.
How does he not look weird next to the other ones? Like I imagine Jeff's
all
small.
Tall-ish.
Are they all 6'4"?
Yeah, they're all 6'4".
He's only 1 inch tall.
Greg's quite tall, but they
tall.
Do tower over him. Here's a photo.
Greg's tall. Jeff's quite short, and Anthony's kind of medium height.
So he was replaced by a tall man as well.
Which one's tall?
The one who's clearly taller than the others.
Oh, but what's his name?
Murray.
Murray.
The guitarist.
Yes.
My favourite.
The red one.
The funny one.
Stop making noise.
I've decided that I don't like him now. I know he's tall. He's my least favourite.
Wow, you heightest.
Come up to his belly button.
Come back, Greg. Greg looked tall. He looked lanky.
He's tall.
But just not as tall.
Oh, my God. He just doesn't understand how height works.
I'm offended by his height.
You are. Look, he's all flustered.
What about Jeff? Is Jeff small?
Jeff's pretty short.
Okay,
great.
I think Emma looks like the short. What a way to finish. I think Emma might be the shortest.
Yeah, makes sense.
Well,
that's why.
Yeah, Anthony's buff with tats on his arms.
Mm. Is he? Mm. You love him. Mm. Is that why they had to wear skivvies? Because he roided up.
Maybe.
Also, they're the
nothing that hides muscles like a skivvy, a tight one.
That's why Arnold Schwarzenegger always wears skivvies. That's in Kindergarten Cop. Lots of skivvies.
I found that there's this page that's like is its own fun fact thing, and it's not as good as our fun facts. There's one fun fact here, goes, Jeff Fatt, the Purple Wiggle, he's not narcoleptic, but falls asleep all the time for real. So that's most people.
Yeah, he falls asleep
most days. Nearly every night. Nearly. One night a week, he stays up all night.
What's he do?
He's watching cartoons.
Sick.
Loves Top Cat.
Apparently their revenue peak was $45 million in 2009. But they suffered a drop every year until they retooled the group with the younger performers.
Wow.
But I mean, the drop still, that was still,
they're still doing this. Yeah, we're not making that.
And also, this is other funny, Greg, the old yellow wiggle, is a huge Elvis fanatic. He owned the fourth largest personal Elvis collection in the world.
What? That's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah, anyway.
There
look,
we go.
We've got to fucking wrap it up.
Wrap it up.
So that was the Wiggles. Thanks so much.
That was great. That was very interesting.
Yes. It was, like, I didn't know a lot of that. The biggest surprise was that his brother wasn't the pirate.
That, to me.
Thanks for listening for the hour and a half since that fact. But that really peaked early.
Hopefully I don't know why. I don't know if, I feel like some American listeners are probably like, what's an Australian thing? And that's maybe why that was suggested by Nick. It's like, the Wiggles? That'd be one of our
biggest exports, for sure.
Big exports.
Sometimes they were on the Forbes rich list.
Wow.
But the proper.
It'd be Wiggles, Hugh Jackman,
Nicole Kidman in years that she makes big movies.
Yeah, Hemsworth.
Oh, there are a few. Yeah, there's a
few
now actors.
The Hemsworths.
Way more actors than music for some reason.
Yeah, music's not so much.
Hmm.
There we go.
I think our last number one over there was Iggy Azalea.
Oh,
yeah. She
okay.
was big.
Gautier
was big.
Yeah.
One song. Anyway.
To shut me up.
Okay. That was great, though, man. I really enjoyed that report. A good one.
Me too. Well done, Matt. Hey, Matt. I'm proud of you.
Thanks, guys.
Matt.
Hey.
I'm proud of you.
Thanks, Jess. I mean, a lot of that was taken from Paul Field's own bloody mouth.
Thank you, Paul Field.
So, well, you know, and he was only ever going to talk about it in relatively positive ways. So it was interesting that he really let go about
Greg.
Yeah, why did he say all that horrible shit? Imagine the stuff he left out about how much he hates Greg.
So I'd love to hear the unauthorized biography with all the real dirt.
Yeah.
Get some dirt
real
on the Wiggles.
Dirt.
Yeah, the real dirt.
Apparently at this stage, no one's cared enough to do that, but it's really open.
Gap in the market.
Yeah.
Wiggles, the real story.
By Dave Warnicki.
Yeah.
It's your time to shine, Dave.
It's just fan fiction.
Hey, thanks so much for listening, everyone. You should always get on our thing and rate us highly.
Oh yeah, we haven't said that in a long time. We always talk about our Facebook and Twitter, which is at Do Go On Pod. If you want to suggest a topic, our Twitter is getting more and more followers, but our Facebook's pretty steady.
Jump over to Facebook.
Most of the world's on Facebook, so if you want to jump on there, like our page, you can email us dogoonpod@gmail.com.
We share a lot of fun things on Facebook, so you're probably missing out on some fire content.
That's right. And as Matt said, we haven't. Well, and as I said, we haven't mentioned it in a long time, but it does help if you do rate us on iTunes or whatever medium you use to download the podcast. Makes people more, I guess it makes people trust it more, doesn't it?
It's something that just makes it easy to find as well.
Yeah, it puts it up in the crazy iTunes ratings, that kind of thing. So if you do that, if you do enjoy the show every week, please do give us a good rating.
Yes.
It's always nice to read too, isn't it?
Oh, I love it.
Well, I'm going to go and put on my purple skivvy.
And you're going to look like a fucking pedophile, and I will not be walking anywhere near you as we go to get treats.
Oh, no. No one wants to look like that when they're getting treats.
No.
You big Phantom fan?
I love the Phantom. I'll put on my Phantom costume. Is that less?
That's fine.
Thank you. Thank
you
very much.
I'll allow it.
Well, we're off to get treats. Thanks so much for listening. We'll have a fresh new episode with the lovely voice of Jess Perkins next week. But until then, I will say goodbye.
Later.
Bye.
Mom Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.